You're listening to audio from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, where we train students to preach the Word and reach the world. For more free resources like this one, visit www.swbts.edu/media resources.
A just man. A just man. No one in that day thought I was a just man. My father didn't believe me. Her father didn't believe me. The town didn't believe me. You see, you have to consider the circumstances. Oh, but wait a second. I'm getting ahead of myself. I need to tell you first that I am Joseph, son of Jacob, grandson of Mathan. And in these veins is royal blood. Boaz, Jesse, David, Solomon. You should know that I used to not be so free to say such things. In my day, if I said such things, I would be killed. Royal blood was not something you spoke of freely. But my family, we had settled in Nazareth. We had come from Babylon back to Jerusalem, but Jerusalem was so crowded, you just could not stay in the city. And so we traveled up north and settled in Nazareth and opened a carpentry shop. While we were in Babylon, everyone had to make everything, and so my forefathers learned carpentry as a trade, and they were good at it, and they passed it to my father, and my father passed it to me, and I could not wait to pass that on to my children as well. You see, it mattered not what was in your blood. You had to make everything yourself. In Babylon, we could make everything splendidly, from staffs to cartwheels. You name it, we could make it, and we did an incredible job making it. Oh, but Nazareth, such an interesting place. It was a small town, and as with all small towns, there are good things and bad things. You know everyone, and that's a good thing, but it can also be a bad thing, because everyone knows your business as well. And see, for me, as you shall learn, that was not necessarily a positive thing. Oh, but I love the carpentry shop. So many great days there in the carpentry shop that I can remember. There was one in particular that you should know about. My father came in and he told me to follow him and go out back. And so we went out back, and as we sat there and talked, he said to me, "Joseph, it is time for you to be betrothed to a wife." Well, see, in my day, the fathers arranged the marriages. And then we were betrothed, and eventually then we would come together in marriage. I hear that you people let your children pick out who they're going to marry? Oh, I could think of nothing more crazy than that. What do you know about marriage? You know nothing about marriage. You've never been married. And this thing called dating I hear about? Sinful, I tell you. Totally sinful. You need to read your Bibles. You should let the parents pick out the spouse. They've been married. They know all about marriage. And so it was in our day that they arranged the marriage. And I was betrothed to a young woman named Mary. I was around 15 at the time. She was around 12 at the time. You look at her and she was, well, shall we say, plain? But I didn't think much of it. Between the ages of 12 and, well, you know, considerable changes can occur in the life of a lady, and so I didn't think a whole lot about Mary being plain. I listened to my father with excitement, and I continued on. Many months passed. Much time took place. And then the day that I shall never forget occurred. I was working on these nice cabinets, and I had put a really fine finish. I was very proud of my work, and my father, I heard him come in, and I wanted to show him. And so I turned and looked to my father, and I saw a look on his face of sheer anxiety, terror. And he said to me, "Joseph, come." I wanted to say, "Father, what's wrong?" Many thoughts went through my head. I thought, is something wrong with Mom? Has something happened to you? What's going on? But I didn't ask. I simply put down my tools and I followed my father. And we walked. And we walked. And we walked. And the farther we walked, the more I knew this was an important conversation. Because you see, if anyone in Nazareth heard anything, well, it's a small town, as I told you. And so we walked to the outskirts of town. He leaned up against a rock and he told me, he said, "Son, I have some bad news for you. Mary is pregnant." Can you imagine my reaction? I looked at my father and I said, "She's what?" I asked the obvious question, "Father, what happened? Was it one of those horrible Roman soldiers? Did he come into town and take advantage of her? Was she attacked at her home? Has she been running around? What happened? And my father said, there's a story. Oh, yes, a story. There has to be a story. An explanation surely must explain this. And so I asked my father, Father, what is the story? Do you know what he told me? He said that Mary claimed she had seen an angel, and that the Holy Spirit had visited her, and that the child that she was bearing was of the Holy Spirit. I was astonished. I mean, the Holy Spirit, an angel, a story? Surely you could come up with a better story than that. I mean, the easy story was the Roman soldiers, and yet this was the story. I did not believe the story. I asked my father, Father, do you believe the story? He did not believe the story. Her parents did not even believe the story. No one believed the story. Well, my father told me, you have to make a decision, son. You see, I had three options. The law allowed for her to be stoned, but we didn't really practice that in my day. The second option was for me to put her away publicly. Now, that was a good option because, you see, everyone would know I had nothing to do with this then. My name would be cleared. Oh, but she would be embarrassed. And after a story like she had, I didn't know that she needed further embarrassment. And then the other option was to put her away privately and secretly. And so I walked throughout the hillside, and I walked, and I walked, and I continued to walk, and I thought to myself, what should I do? I came to the conclusion I should put her away secretly, and so I told my father, Father, you and mother said that you would support me no matter what my decision is. My decision is this, I will put her away secretly. My father thought that was a good decision as well. Oh, but that night I was laying there trying to sleep. You know, I was really thinking about why me. All I really wanted to do was get married, to raise a family, to teach my children how to carve and how to make things in the carpentry shop. And all of a sudden, I'm betrothed to a girl who has a crazy story about an angel and the Holy Spirit. And all of this, Lord, why would this happen to me? I've sought to follow your word. And as I was sitting there thinking it, I had this sense, I'm not alone. Well, no one should have been up at that hour. It was early in the morning, and so I looked around and I saw this being unlike any other being that I had ever seen. Immediately, I asked the question, who are you? The response came back that this was an angel of the Lord. Now, to my astonishment, my heart began to beat fast. My palms began to sweat. I really couldn't get my words out, but I thought to myself, this is the end of your life. You're dead. I mean, we talked about angels, but we didn't talk to angels. We believed in angels, but we had never seen an angel. And so there I was in front of an angel. I figured if my life was over, I should know why. And so I said to him, what do you want? Well, the first part was good. He said, Joseph, do not be afraid. Well, the second part was not so good. He said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your bride, for she has told the truth. The Holy Spirit has come upon her. She has not played the harlot. She has been true. I thought to myself, does this angel know how things work? This is not possible. I started to protest, but the gravity of the moment and looking at the situation, I just could not find the words. And so instead I asked him, would you go to my father and tell him this? And the angel said no. So then I said, will you go to the town and tell them this? And again, the angel said no. The angel told me I would have to trust God. Trust God. My family had trusted God for centuries, and yet no one had ever asked us to do anything like this. And the angel left, and the next morning I had to determine how I would tell my father. Can you imagine having to go tell your father news of this nature? I walked in with butterflies in my stomach. I couldn't even eat my breakfast. I was so anxious. And I walked and I saw my father and I saw my mother. And so I started off and I said, Dad, do you remember how you and Mom said that you would love me no matter what I decided and support me no matter what I decided? Well, I have decided that instead of putting Mary away secretly, I'm going to marry her. That did not go over so well. My father's face dropped. And it did not stay dropped for long because soon he rose in anger and said, you're going to do what? I raised you better than this. Don't you know whose blood flows through your veins? I thought I would help matters and say, Father, but I have seen an angel. It did not help matters at all. I shall never forget what he said to me. You've seen an angel. Mary's seen an angel. All of Nazareth seeing angels. When shall I see an angel? I told him I asked the angel to come show himself, but he did not really believe that either. And so my father and my mother didn't believe me. They in fact left, and there I was. What was I to do at this point? Think about my situation. I had a pregnant wife. I had a story that nobody believed. I had parents who didn't even believe me. I had a town who didn't believe me. Can you imagine those next few weeks? Those next few weeks were not easy for me at all. I was at the carpenter shop and business was slow. Who wanted to do business with the guy that had been talking to angels? And everybody that came by, they didn't want to do business. They wanted to find out what had happened. So why are you doing this? My friends came by. Well, I guess you could call them friends. They showed up and they said to me, Joseph, tell us what really happened. Oh, Joseph, you dirty cow. You haven't been staying in your pasture, have you? Oh, Joseph, you're like those sheep who drink the water before it's ready. I said to them, I have done nothing wrong, and Mary is a good girl. Do not talk bad about Mary. Their response to me was that if that was true, I was the biggest dumb ox in all of Israel. To marry a girl who had such a story, to not have done anything? Oh, but even consider the other aspects. I had a bride who was pregnant. Pregnancy is not such a comfortable scenario. She was craving olives right and left. I do not like olives. She could not sleep well at night. We had not really talked to each other that much, and here all of a sudden in this situation, communication, it was difficult, you see. My life could not get any worse, could it? I thought, Lord, why me? Why would you allow this scenario to happen to me? Why would you put me in these circumstances? Oh, but I thought it could not get any worse. And then one day in our town came a Roman soldier. He put up a sign. This sign said that we all had to go to Bethlehem or to our city of origin in order to register for a census so that we would have to pay taxes to Caesar. It could not get any worse. That's right. I had now had to travel with a 9-month pregnant wife all the way down to Bethlehem, and I had to pay more taxes. Who wants to do that? Oh, these were very dark days. You should think these days were not good days for me. Mary and I had some tough weeks. When we talked about it, we determined she could not stay here. She had to go. There really was no option. But to go, she couldn't travel that well, and so we got a donkey and we made our way slowly down to Bethlehem. We went through Jerusalem and then to the 6 miles on farther down. We were about 3 miles into it, about halfway, when she said to me, Joseph, I did not have to look back. I knew there was a problem. I kept moving. Mary, can you make it? She said, we better hurry. I knew from the tone of her voice it was the time. I told her, as soon as I got to the outskirts of town, I'll ask around, we'll find somewhere to stay. And so I get to the outskirts of town and begin to look and begin to ask, is there a place? Is there a place? Do you have room? Where could I stay? But everybody had gotten there before us. We traveled slowly. We had to. And there was nowhere to stay. There was no room anywhere. And finally, I found a place, and it was a place where the animals had stayed. A just man. I don't know that I was a just man at that moment in time. God, you send an angel. You have me in this scenario. I go to Bethlehem and a stable. An angel tells me that Emmanuel, God with us, is to be born in a stable. I sweep out the hay and I sweep out what the animals do in their stables. It was not a pretty picture, I tell you. I thought my wife would be in a grand palace after all. Jesus is supposed to save his people from their sins, and yet we're here in a stable. There were many times and many days that my faith was tried. Mary and I really had nothing but each other and our faith in God. And so I made her as comfortable as I could, and as she was there, I remember trying to take care of every little detail, but you see, I knew very little about birth. I had seen some births. I had seen sheep. I had seen goats, but I don't know that it was much different in my mind, but then all of a sudden it began to happen. I was no doctor. I shall never forget, though, about 2 a.m, there was a cry. And when the cry occurred, I knelt down with these old carpenter's hands and I grabbed a precious newborn baby and I held in these hands what the angel had told me was the Son of God. Emmanuel, God with us, in the form of a babe. There were some pretty trying times in that as well. There were some cries. And so I tried to comfort the child. I placed the child with Mary. I made sure that Mary was comfortable and the child was comfortable. And I just couldn't help but sit and look at the babe which had been born to Mary as they tried to catch some sleep. They had finally calmed down and been settled, and I heard some commotion outside. And so I went and I looked outside and imagined to my astonishment there come shepherds that were coming down. And as these shepherds came down, they were out of breath because they were in such a hurry. And I looked at the shepherds and I said, what do you want? They said, can we see him? I said, see who? Well, we have been told by an angel that unto us this day in the city of David is born a Savior who is Christ the Lord. I had not told them that these veins had royal blood. They had no way to know that this baby was going to be the Savior. And yet an angel had said to them, and they had come. I wanted to tell them, no, you cannot come in right now. Mary is resting. No, baby Jesus needs his sleep. And I opened my mouth and I said, enter. I'm sure Mary was not very pleased with me at that moment in time. But we watched as the shepherds walked and as they fell down on their knees and as they began to weep and sob before a baby and give praises to God for sending a Savior to his people. I did not know what to think of it at that moment in time. There were other visitors too. You see, we could not travel immediately. And so we eventually went to a house and wise, rich travelers from afar came. You people, I don't know that you will ever get it. You have your displays that you put out. The Bibles clearly tell you we were in a house, and yet you have these wise, rich men coming to the manger. They did not come to the manger. Read your Bibles. And three wise men? Who says there were three wise men? There were three gifts, grant you, but who said three? And December 25th, give me a break. What shepherd's going to be on a hill in the middle of the night, in the middle of the winter? And who does a census? Never mind. You read your Bibles. You need to study more. It was amazing as the shepherds came to visit. It was amazing as the wise men came to visit. But right after the wise men left, guess what happened? An angel showed up. You know, by this time I should have been surprised again, but not much surprised me at this point. I started to offer him to stay for coffee, but I decided that might not be a good idea. He told me that Herod was seeking our lives. I was not surprised. Herod sought everybody's life in that day and time. And so it was time to flee, and so we had to take and go to Egypt. Those gifts from those rich travelers came in very handy to pay for us to get to Egypt and back. And so we were able to flee as God had provided and get away from the wrath of Herod. And then we came back. Oh, there's so much more I could tell you. So much I could tell you about the days at the carpentry shop, but we just don't have the time. A fever came on me. It came quickly. I know not how, I know not what happened. But in very few days I had passed and gone to be in heaven. But I know how the story ended. I know that that baby that was born in a stable grew up to live a perfect life on earth. I know that wicked men hung Jesus on a cross and he paid the penalty for my sin and for your sin. A just man. Without the grace of Jesus Christ, there are no just men. I know that after Jesus died on a cross, 3 days later, God raised him from the dead, declaring that he was the Savior, the perfect sacrifice, that no other was needed. I know that that Jesus is no longer a baby in a manger. But oh, if you could see Jesus now, if you could see what that little baby has become. And one day you will. One day you will see Jesus too. He will be coming back. And when he comes back, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So as you go through your days, you remember, we called his name Jesus because he would save his people from their sins.
Thank you for listening to this audio from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. If you want more information on our academic programs, or if you would like to support our mission, visit www.swbts.edu.